Jacobus. Thank you to the band. It's amazing, guys. Thank you for just being faithful, preparing and leading us into the presence of the Lord. And such a sweet presence of God here this morning. I think it's what we live for, and to be in God's presence together with God's people. And thank you for those words as well. They really were so powerful. It is amazing to be here with you guys. And it's also a great privilege to have been able to bring Shofar Summers West along. So guys, thank you for joining us this morning. Like Kubas said, normally they just send me off and I go and they don't know what I'm up to. So it's also just for you guys to see that I do actually work when I'm not in Summers West on Sundays. But I remember so many conversations, like Kubas, that we had probably October, November, all right, driving around. Then I'm in my car driving to go and look at a venue. Then Kubas on his way to go and look at a venue. And then we say, we're almost there. We're standing in faith. And then the apostolic team, we sign an offer. And then a couple of days later, no, we've got to sign another offer. And so we've really been encouraging each other because this is a time now the Lord has challenged us to step out in faith. It is a time that has challenged us not to think small, even though everything nowadays in the environment where we are in is sort of geared towards getting us to think small. Right? Like you're sitting behind your laptop at home instead of in an office anymore. The classes are smaller. Church gathering spaces are smaller. Everything is going smaller. And I think within that, there's a great blessing as well. I think within that, there's the opportunity for us to go intimate, to go close and to grow really closer to each other and closer to the Lord. And so there's a big blessing within that as well, within that invitation to grow smaller, to not neglect the day of small beginnings, to not neglect the little things in life, to appreciate maybe again how big and how important the little things really are, that family and friendship, relationship is so important. You know, we don't just live for the big moments. We don't just live for the big conferences. We don't just live for the big gatherings, but we actually live for the things that really matter. People who will be with you when everything else fades away, that there are relationships that God wants us to sow into, and that there's so much beauty to be found in the small things, in the little things. But at the same time, not to limit our faith, not to allow us to lose our confidence and to not trust God for the big things, to not trust God for the harvest, to not trust God for the dreams that He has placed in our hearts. I chatted with one of my brothers at the beginning of the service how he said he's probably in a season of his life now where he hasn't had this much stress in a long time and many challenges, but at the same time, he is living his dream. At the same time, he has stepped out in faith and he has challenged himself in his own way of doing things. And he's had to make a decision a while ago. Is he going to continue just going through the motions and just being in the job that he's been in for many, many years? Or is he going to step out and live from the inside out, live with that passion that God has given us? And I think that really is in my heart for us as well as a church family. What I'm beginning, God is beginning to sense, God is saying to us from the beginning of this year, and obviously earlier on in the month, I think you guys are getting a double dose or a triple dose of me. You watched that video where I shared with you just around the ancient paths that God has been leading us into as a church family, or reminding us again that there are certain ways, there are certain values that are important to Him. And that doesn't matter whether you are here in Brackenfell, in Summers of the West, or whether you are in Windhoek, or whether you are up in Burundi, that those values are the same. Values like rest, that we need to live out of a place of rest, that we need to sit at Jesus' feet, that we need to live from a place where everything that we do for God flows out of our being with God, that we need to come and we need to receive from Him the refreshing that we can't find from a Facebook post, or we can't find from a sporting event, or we can't find from a breakthrough at work, that there's an affirmation that our hearts long for that can only come from the presence of Jesus. That rest, that place in the midst of the storm, I'm resting at His feet. that it doesn't matter the size of my church, it doesn't matter the size of my company, it doesn't matter the size of my budget, it doesn't even matter really the health of my body in a real way. Being at Jesus' feet is what matters, is what defines me. It has always been that thing that has set the church apart right throughout the centuries, in that we are people that live from the inside out, not from the outside in. But all of life wants to push us towards focusing on the externals. And God has been saying to us as a Shofar family, come back to a place of rest. Come and learn from me. I don't want you to be striving. I don't want you to be working to earn my approval and to impress each other and to be in competition with each other. I want you to be at rest. And that from that place of rest, we can work. From that place of rest, we can action and we can pursue our dreams. And for me, it's such an important place to be at, and a place that I believe that God is saying to us, if you remain in that place, if you continue to prioritize moments like we had now in worship, in being in God's presence, here as well as at home, where it's not just something that we tick off, you know, we're a charismatic church, or we're a church that sings songs before we do the word, but it is really a place where we enter into God's rest, where we come to experience something here and when we're at home that we can't experience anywhere else. And from that place, we can operate in faith again. From that place, we can get back to God's promises. What is God saying to us? And I want you guys just to show that picture of that field, because it's amazing just hearing the words coming through about the field that is ready for harvest and just the seed that we have everywhere. If you guys can show the picture of just that field that is blooming, because there's this amazing word that God gave us in Summers the West last week that I quickly want to share with you guys. It's from Isaiah 32, verse 15. And it says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field becomes a forest. Okay, maybe you guys don't have that. But there's this beautiful promise that God gives us where he says that there's wilderness all around us. Speaking to Isaiah, or through Isaiah. There's wilderness, there's desert, there's chaos, there's political chaos, there's chaos within God's house. The priests aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. The prophets aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. The families aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's chaos until the Spirit of God is poured out from on high. Until the Spirit of God is poured out upon on high. And that changes everything. It's the Holy Spirit that changes things. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about the transformation. Because as we are here in this place that is holy ground, this place that has been dedicated to God, this northern gate of Cape Town. And I was thinking about it as I was praying for this morning, you know, you guys here, the northern gate, it is northern gate, eh? I think, yes. Cape Gate, the northern gate access point into Cape Town. We're in the eastern gate there in Summers the West, that the Lord is converging these two this morning. And I believe that there is an authority that God gives us, where we can be gatekeepers over our city. It's not coincidental that the Lord has positioned you now in a space that is visible, in a space where people can see you and maybe be drawn, like you said, just out of curiosity, but be drawn to this place. And then we have got to understand what is the position God has given us. What has he given us to steward? Because, I mean, this building is incredible. It is so beautiful what you guys have managed to do with this. It is inspirational to be here. I'm going to be stealing ideas that we guys are going to take back as well. It's inspirational just to see what the people of God can do, what men and women who are committed to the Lord can do. And we need to steward this building well. We need to steward the resources that God has given us. We need to steward that well. But beyond the building, I believe what God has given us is something in the Spirit that he wants us to steward. And that is an authority. It's an authority in the Spirit. The portion of scripture that I read last week on the ancient paths from Jeremiah 6, it speaks about the ancient paths, and then it says that there's a trumpet that the Lord has given his people, and he wants us to listen to the sound of the trumpet. And Shofar family, I believe that God is restoring the sound of the shofar. God is restoring the sound of our confidence to blow the shofar, to blow the shofar so that we can remind people around us about life in God, life in the Spirit, life rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And this promise in Isaiah 32 verse 15 reminds me that God has called us, when we come together, to trust him for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right, Isaiah 32 verse 15, I don't have that on the slides, but you can maybe jot that down. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. The little word there, until, speaks about a lot of things that have happened before. And when we get to until, it normally means that there were things that happened before. And I don't know how many of us this morning, we are at a place where there was a before, and we are desperate for that until. That place where God intervenes, that place where God comes and God transforms things and changes things. Because what we are trusting God for as a Shofar church family is not just to gather people to be part of a church program or gather people to come together and just sing songs or just be exposed to some nice teachings. We are trusting God for that intersection where roads converge, where somebody's life comes together and converges with the life and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when that happens, transformation takes place. When that happens, the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field becomes a forest. A friend of mine is a pastor in Walvis Bay in Namibia. And he sent me some pictures early in the week. And it is mind-boggling to see what has happened to the desert. After years of drought and the rain that came. Mind-boggling, that same desert that looked dead as if there's no life, suddenly life comes. Suddenly life manifests. And it's not as if there wasn't life before. There was life within the desert. I was there a few months ago to also just dedicate their building to the Lord. And it is amazing to see that there is life in the desert. You know, you fly over the desert with an airplane, you look down, it's like, God, there can't be anything there. And yet, if you spend some time down there, you see there is life. It's just very resilient life, and it's maybe life like we don't know it here in the Western Cape, but there is life here. But very few things can flourish in the desert. But when the rain comes, something happens. All of a sudden, grass starts to grow. All of a sudden, there are flowers that are blossoming. Something can happen when the rain comes that cannot happen any other way. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot dream it out. You need the rain. If the rain doesn't come, there's just certain things that will not happen. And that is true for us as believers as well. If the rain of the Holy Spirit doesn't come, we can have the nicest building. We can have the most amazing music. We can have the most incredible youth programs. But if the rain of the Holy Spirit doesn't come, we will simply keep people busy. We will simply just channel the activities from one thing to another. But the rain of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, transforms the desert into life. And that is what I'm trusting God for you guys here in Brackenfell and for us as a church family. And I believe that the Lord is saying it is a time of the Holy Spirit. It is a time for us to have an expectation in our hearts, not just to go through life like everybody else is going through life. Not just to expect the same things, but to expect something different. Not because we are amazing or we now have something that somebody else doesn't have, but because of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is poured out upon what we give Him. And I think that's the key question is, are we giving the Holy Spirit our wilderness? Are we giving the Holy Spirit our fruitful field? Are we giving the Holy Spirit something that He can rain down upon? What are we giving the Holy Spirit this morning? And that's the encouragement I sensed in the Spirit this morning as we were worshiping and as you were sharing the words, is bring your wilderness to the Lord this morning. Bring that area. You know, a wilderness is that place where you don't see a lot of life. You're barely hanging in there. And maybe if somebody were to ask you, share a testimony or tell me what the Lord has done, you're probably not going to take that area of your life and say, look what the Lord has done. You know, that's the wilderness. It's like, you know, I'm rather going to show you this part of my house. I'm rather going to share this part of my testimony. Or I'm rather going to invite you into this part of my family's life. But this part, not really. And the Lord is encouraging us, bring that wilderness. Because when we bring the wilderness, then something like that can happen. Then the rain can come. And that's the same place that was just dry. If you look at those pictures there, there was just desert, just sand. The rain comes. But we have to bring. And that's what we are living for. We are living. I mean, that is just astounding to me. You know, if you look at that, that is the Kalahari people, the Namib Desert. You know, Biltong comes, you know, the Lord is providing for his people. But life gets drawn to life. Amen? Life gets drawn to life. And so if we are going to expect those who are hungry and those who are thirsty to come, then the greatest blessing that we can give them is not the building. It is hearts that are soaked in the presence of God. Amen? It's hearts and minds and lives that are drenched in the Holy Spirit. Because if our fields are saturated with the Holy Spirit, then the deer will come. Let's not refer to the harvest as biltong, okay, but I think you know what I mean. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, then the life will come. They are drawn to it. And all around us, people are famished and hungry and thirsty for life. I read an article yesterday in the National Geographic, and that was written towards the latter part of 2020, so now it's even worse. But just speaking about the isolation people are experiencing now during COVID, just the tremendous emotional and relational and mental trauma that people are going through. And I think the reality is that most of that trauma has always been there. What's happening now is the pressure is just highlighting that. The pressure is just showing us how broken we are on the inside. And we have an opportunity to say to people, there's a place where it's raining. There's a place where it's raining. There's a place where there's hope. There's a place where there's peace. There's a place where there's joy. There's a place where there's fulfillment. There's a place where there's family. There's a place where your life doesn't have to be you and your computer screen the whole day. There's a place where it doesn't have to be you and your hopelessness and your addictions and your hurt and your pain. There's a place where the Holy Spirit still does miracles. Have a look at my heart. Maybe not so much, I invite you to come and see my building, but I invite you to come and see what the Lord has done. And for some people, they need to step into the building first, because as they step into the building, they can experience love. I don't know how many of you guys, your first encounter with happy, clappy believers were like, these people are just like, something's not lekker. You know, nobody can be that happy all the time. You know, this is not real. And the more you hang around with them, you discover that there is something there that is real and that is contagious. I remember many years ago, just joining Shofar as a student, you know, just walking into that church building, like 20, 25 of us in 1994, and experiencing the love, experiencing the joy of God, experiencing the prophetic flow, and then Monday meeting some of those same guys and finding out they were just as on fire on Monday than what they were on Sunday. There was, it didn't have to be religion. It didn't have to be, this is the best day of the week. We can take what we experience here into the rest of the week. Why? Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit isn't limited to a Sunday. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit isn't limited to the band singing amazing songs. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit really is contingent and dependent upon my heart. Do I bring my heart with faith to him? And that is what I want to talk to us about this morning, is that faith that we bring to God. So if we can go to that first slide, I want to read from us from the book of Hebrews this morning. But first, I want to just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church building, God. I thank you for this place of gathering, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning, Lord, together with our brothers and sisters in Somerset West, Lord, to add our faith with our brothers and sisters here in Brackenfell. God, as the Eastern Gate can come together with the Northern Gate, Lord, and we can trust you and stand in faith, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit, God, upon us as we gather. That you would pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, as we gather on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, as we gather on Wednesday evenings and as we gather Fridays, Lord, and as we gather for coffee appointments and for business boardroom meetings and as we go to school. Father, wherever we gather, that you would pour out your Spirit. That you will come and do what only you can do, God. We understand and we recognize, Lord, that unless your Spirit is poured out upon us, unless your Holy Spirit is poured out upon this building, Lord, upon the hearts within this building, then the wilderness will simply remain a wilderness. But God, when your Holy Spirit pours down, then fruitful fields can arise. Then, Lord God, forests can come to the fore. Lord God, then life gets drawn to life. So we thank you, Lord, for the springs of water. We thank you for your promise that is true, that you are doing a new thing. And I thank you that the new thing that you are doing, God, in Shofar Brackenfell is so much more than just the new thing of this building. This building represents a new channel, Lord God, a new river, Lord God, a well that has been unblocked, Lord God, here in Brackenfell, here at the northern gate to Cape Town. Father, we thank you that from this place, Lord, rivers of life will flow in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that the life that will flow from this place and will bring transformation, Lord, really has got very little to do with the amount of people here. It has to do with the presence of your Holy Spirit, and it has to do with the faith within this room. And so, Father, thank you that this is a place of faith. Father, thank you that this is a place, Lord, from which life will go forth. We receive transformed communities, Lord, transformed families, transformed marriages, transformed schools, transformed workplaces, Lord. And Father, we want to say to this northern gate, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Be lifted up in the name of Jesus for the King of Kings, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, this will not be a place of dead religion. Father, we thank you this will be a place of new wineskins for new wine, God. We thank you that those who come here, Lord, will be drunk with the Holy Spirit. We thank you that those who come here, Holy Spirit, I sense you saying that you will do things even, Lord, that few have experienced before, that this is not the place where we will simply fall back on old ways and the old way of doing things and old and experiences, God, but new experiences, Father, new encounters with you, new ways of your Spirit bringing dreams and visions and prophecies, Lord. New ways, Father. Thank you for a generation of young people, God, in this place that will know your touch. They will be set on fire for you, God, and they will go forth into their schools and, Lord God, into their sporting clubs and into, Lord God, their friendship circles and bring about transformation because of your Holy Spirit's presence. We dedicate and commit this building, God, into your hands, Lord, as a sanctuary where people will meet with you, a place where the veil has been torn. And people can enter into the holiest of holies in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Let us read together from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. As we gather in this place, as we gather around the online platform this morning, I sense the Lord is just wanting to give us an invitation to be determined, to be resilient, to be steadfast, to be bold, not to allow anything to keep us from our birthright, not to allow anything to keep us from entering into that which God has destined for us to enter into. And that is not a place of religion. That is not a place of just having a little trickle here and there of God's presence. It is the holiest of holies. It is a place where in the Old Testament, the saints of God couldn't even enter into unless you were the high priest. And the high priest could only get into that holiest of holy places once a year. Once a year, the high priest could go there to make atonement for the sins of God's people. Once a year, he could go beyond the veil. And here we see that God, through the blood of Jesus, has given us access as we are. Black and white, rich and poor, experienced or inexperienced, degreed or not degreed, having a fancy job or being jobless, irrespective of our marital status, we have access, all of us, through the same blood into the same presence of God. The holiest place. The holiest place where only one man once a year could go into and hopefully not die. Hopefully come out of there alive. Having to have little bells around his robe so that at least the people on the outside could hear. As long as they could hear the bells, they would still know that he's still alive, meeting with God. He's still alive. That same God that when he manifested on Mount Sinai and the Israelites said, "No, Moses, you go and speak to God. You go to his presence. We can't stand the voice of thunder and lightning. We are sinful." That same God desires to live and to dwell with you and me, has given us access into his presence by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. And the writer to the book of Hebrews, he writes to people who know God. They know his love. But he feels in his heart to remind them again, don't throw away your confidence. He says to them, having boldness or having confidence. He says to them, I want you to run into God's presence boldly. Not boldly, yay, I've led so many people to the Lord, or yay, I was in the band, or yay, I taught Bible school, or yay, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. Yay, I had a massive breakthrough in my business and I'm tithing to the church. None of those things can give us true boldness in God's presence. It is simply the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that causes us to stand in front of the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and speak to him like a daddy. Speak to him like the only one upon this earth that knows us, really knows us, and loves us just as we are. Loves us just as we are. He says, there's a new and a living way which he consecrated for us. Through the veil that is his flesh, a new and a living way. And I like this because we've been talking to each other about ancient paths, about roads that don't change, things like rest and unity and faith that God has called us to live by. But here he's speaking about a way that is a living way and a new way. And I've been challenged in my own life to say to myself, how much am I relying upon old ways? Even when I come to Jesus, old ways that have maybe grown a little bit stale or a little bit predictable. And sometimes in my life, I experience a frustration with things that used to work in the past that now all of a sudden are not working anymore. And that is normally God just inviting me, change, shed your skin. Shed your skin, get rid of the old ways. Get rid of maybe there's, you know, this verse in Verse 22 speaks about the fact that we need to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Maybe there's something in your heart, or maybe something in your conscience that wants to keep you from God's presence, wants to keep you from running into his presence and spending time there. And I think that for me has become the key. Not so much am I just going into his presence, but am I spending time there? You know, that notion that most wives would know, quality time. I think what we are talking about here is not so much just, you know, am I just going in there to get what I want and get what I need, or am I spending time there to listen to his heart as well? Am I spending time there for him to download how he feels about me, or how he feels about my neighbor, or how he feels about my boss, or how he feels about our president, or how he feels about that political leader that I can't stand, or how he feels about the traffic officer that gave me the fine? Am I spending time for a download of his heart? Am I spending quality time in his presence? And sometimes when our hearts are, maybe our conscience is a little bit muddied, we have some things that are bugging us, or things in our hearts that we feel ashamed of, then we can easily just rush out of God's presence. But God is saying, I want you to come and bring your hearts, bring your conscience. If there's something from 2020, if there's something that the devil is using just against you, I felt in my heart the Lord is saying, bring those things to the light. Just step into his presence. Maybe pull somebody with you and say, man, you know, on my way to church, I shouted at my wife. You know, last week I said that thing, or maybe 20 years ago I did that thing and I, you know, I'm still bugged by it and I want to bring it to the light. Let's not allow the devil to push us away from a place of confidence in God. A place where we can draw near with a true heart. Are you drawing near with confidence? Are you drawing near with confidence into God's presence? Confidence, not just, you know, in the natural, not just because the pastor says it, not just because the band now says it's a time to become quiet. So for me, really, this is amazing and it's incredible. But the true test for our confidence to draw near with God is when the band isn't around us, when the pastor isn't there. You know, some of the shocking stats that have come through, just some surveys that are being done amongst believers, is about the shocking amount of time that we spend one-on-one with God. And part of the challenge of this beautiful time of COVID, as we were challenged to not become overly dependent upon a Sunday service, was if I were to take honest stock of my own personal drawing near with God. What's my own personal drawing near with God like? What is that like? And the beautiful thing is that God doesn't stand with a stick and say, you've got a 5, you've got a 4. You know, I'm busy journeying with a physio, with my shoulder and my foot and stuff. And then they normally do certain things to you and twist you. And then they ask you, out of 10, you know, how sore is that? You know, it's like they're like a 5 or a 7 or a 10. You know, so when I hit you against the nose of my elbow, you must know that's a... that's a 10. Yeah, but if we were to just sit down and just look at our drawing near to God, our spending time with Him, what would we give ourselves? You know, where would we rate ourselves? And the beautiful thing is God doesn't stand with a stick and say, you naughty boy, you know? Let me give you, if you have 5 in the days when I went to school, if you... wrote a test and the pass mark was, what, like 35 out of 40, and you got 25, the teacher would help you to get to 25, you know, to 35. Whatever you got, he would supplement that and get you to where you needed to be. You know, and sometimes we approach God like that. We don't want to be honest. We don't want to say, God, I feel as if my relationship with you can actually be much more. God, if I'm honest, I'm not really that happy with once a week intimacy with you. God, if I'm honest, I must admit I'm busy and I just pray on my way quickly to work. If I'm honest, my prayers with you is mostly just a list of requests because we fear a backlash from Him. But when He challenges us and when He says to us, I want you to draw near, it's an invitation to receive more. You know, when He says, bring your wilderness, He's not saying to you, how dare you have a wilderness? You bad wilderness, you're going to stay a wilderness for the next 40 years. He says, bring the wilderness because I want to pour my rain upon you. Bring your anger. Bring your frustration. Bring your fear. Bring your hurt. Bring your disappointment. Bring those things. So I want to rain down upon them. We enter the holiest. My desire would be, guys, that as we enter here within this local church, as we will gather again in Summers of the West, when we enter together, may we create a positive slipstream in the Spirit where people can experience something of what happens when God's people draw near to Him. You know, but what happens really is that we bring our drawing near at home into this space. We bring our drawing near at home, that place where we have connected with God, that place where we have listened to His voice and He speaks to us. And so when we come to a service like this, it's not like now for the first time we're having to listen to God. What is He having to say to someone? We come and we bring the treasures. Because each one of you, as you are sitting here, you are the treasure that this local house is built upon. You are the treasure. You are the greatest asset beyond the cameras, beyond the musical instruments, beyond the amazing coffee that you guys serve. The treasure that is in your heart that has been activated by the Holy Spirit is the treasure that this church congregation cannot do without. We can do without nice coffee. We can do without an amazing band. We cannot do without the priesthood of all believers. Amen? We cannot do without believers at home connecting with God and bringing that fire into this place. That is what's going to set this place apart. Not to be ignited here, not to be set on fire here. There's a place for that. But how amazing would it be if we come together as those who have been set on fire by God at home, and we bring that fire here, and then we get set on fire even more. And then those who come here, they can experience that. Because the fire is yours. The rain is yours. It's your birthright. What are you allowing to stand between you and the fire? Between you and the rain? Is it shame? Is it hurt? Is it anger? Is it disappointment? Whatever it is, bring it to the blood of Jesus. Bring it to the blood of Jesus. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. One of the ways in which I know that I have spent time with him the holiest is, what is my confession? What is my confession? My confession, where the words of life or words of death come out of my mouth, is for me an indication how much time I've spent in God's presence. Because praise God, circumstances around us are making it more and more difficult for us to just be cultural Christians. Circumstances around us are making it more and more difficult for us to just be naturally positive. Those who are spending time in the holiest of holies will have a confession of hope. And you cannot have a confession of hope unless you have drawn near. So maybe for some of us, we just need to go back and ask those around us, can we do a bit of an evaluation on the fruit of my lips? How do you hear my confession? What's my confession like? Because, you know, sometimes we think we say something because we're actually thinking a lot of things in our minds, but those who are around us, they actually hear something different. And it could be good for us just to speak to those around us and ask them, what's my confession like? And then the scripture says to us, hold fast your confession. Hold fast. Speak life like you guys had to speak life and say, the Lord has told us to enlarge the place of our habitation. And we're going to hold on to that, and we're going to speak that. We're not going to allow somebody who, on the minute that we have to move in, we need to get the key, say to us, we don't want a church here. We're not going to allow that to push us away from our confession. But the pushing does come, Jacobus. The pushing does come. I mean, as pastors, we're just human. And so when we get the disappointment, Jacobus had a choice to make. Was he going to push into God's presence and say, God, is this what you said? To go back even. You know, sometimes we're afraid to take the word of God back to God and say, God, did you really say? Sometimes we're so afraid to just go back to the word and say, God, did you really give me this word? And then when we do that, we can go back and we can say, yeah, God did say. Let me phone somebody and just say, man, I'm a little bit wavering right now. Pray for me. We can get back to the word and we can say, man, we're going to confess it. God did say. We're going to stretch our tent pegs. He did say he's giving us a new place. He did say we're going to stand in faith. Yeah, for now, we're going to move around from house to house and have house church, but time is going to come. And here, you are eating the fruit of the confession of your hope. What more fruit lies on the other side of more confessions that you have to make? Don't settle so that this now is the ultimate confession of hope. Let this be a springboard and a launching pad, because more than anything else, guys, we eat the fruit of our lips. More than we eat the consequences of the politician's decisions and your boss's decisions and all of those things, they have an impact upon us. But mostly what we eat in our lives, according to Scripture, is the fruit of our lips. That's what we eat. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Hold fast the confession of your faith. Hold fast the confession of your faith. Greater things are yet to come. And then as I'm wrapping up, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one. Let us think of each other. I love that word in the New King James. Let us consider each other. It's like you guys, those of you guys that are volunteering, you are considering people that are coming. You're thinking about who's coming. You are setting the stage for them. And God says, so I want to do. I want you to do. When you come here, consider each other. Think about who might be coming. Pray for them. Trust God, God, maybe in the parking lot, or God, maybe around the coffee station, or God, maybe here in front when we be praying for people, there's someone that needs something that I have inside of me. There's someone that needs something that you have placed inside of me. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We believe that God has called us as a church not just to be fans of a preacher, amen, not just to be fans of worship, to be doers of the word and to be worshipers, not just to be fans of a church movement, but to be disciples. And that's why we will continue to stir each other up for good works. That's why we will encourage each other and say, what are the opportunities around us where we can make a difference? That's why we believe that it's not just attendance that's the key, but discipleship that's the key. Amen. It's discipleship that's the key. So let's continue to stir each other up for love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I think all of us will agree that we don't know the day and the hour, but we can all agree that we are certainly heading rapidly towards the last of the last days. And the Bible says that as we see the day approaching, as we see things escalating, you know, we can have a lot of things that are confusing us, a lot of things that we would be doubting. But Scripture says, as you sense the end approaching, so much more reason that you should assemble, that you should look for every opportunity to come together to stir one another up. So, man, I believe in you. I believe in what God has placed inside of you. You can do what God has called you to do. Let's trust the Lord that this place will be a place where we will exhort each other, a place where we will consider each other. And I love that phrase, where we will stir up each other for good works. In Afrikaans, we have a saying, jy kan iemand opwerk. The English doesn't say it quite as nicely. You work somebody up. It's there. You agitate someone. Eh? What's the better English word? In Afrikaans is jy werk iemand op. Is iemand al, het iemand jou al opgewerk? Nee? Sometimes like people, yeah, they work you up. God says, kom ons werk mekaar op. Let's work each other up for good works. All right? Let's psych each other up for good works. Let's stir, take that camp and stir one another up properly. Put in that ingredients of the different gifts, the poiky course that gets put into this one pot. I love this Shofar Church family because we are all connected to each other. We're not just a bunch of individual congregations doing our own thing. Right? We are stirring each other up and motivating each other and supporting each other. The same for us as individuals. So the greater things are yet to come. It doesn't matter whether you're 20 or whether you're 80. You've got good works that God has stored up for you to do in love. I want to pray for you guys, if you can stand. And I want to just pray in faith. And for those of us who are at home, we're going to take communion in a couple of minutes and just honor the blood of Jesus. But I would like you, and I'm trusting God more than anything else, just for a position in the Spirit for us this morning. A boldness for us to access a place that is available to us in the Spirit. Right, where we're not intimidated by the things that are happening around us. A place where we have access to God's resources in the Spirit, and we can say, Father, I'm petitioning you this morning for something in my marriage. I'm petitioning you this morning for something in my boss's life. I'm petitioning you this morning for something to shift in my kids' school where there's an attack of the occult against the teachers or whatever it might be, or my neighbor, the crime in our street to shift. I'm petitioning you this morning. I'm entering into the holiest of holies and I'm petitioning you. And I want to ask you that you will stand in faith, those of us in Summers the West, the Eastern Gate of Summers the West, those of us here for the Northern Gate of Cape Town, that we would petition the Lord, And we would say, God, we don't just want to go through the motions. We want to lay hold of everything that you have given us by the blood of Jesus. Let's close our eyes. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word that says that Jesus, you are the high priest over the house of God. You are the high priest. There is no human high priest, Lord. You are the high priest over the house of God. And you have made all of us as priests, Lord. All of us as priests. And so we come to you this morning, Lord, as priests. We come to you this morning, God, not as those who have to live in the outskirts of the outer court, Lord God. We come to you this morning as those who have access into the holiest of holies. Father, and I thank you that we can lay hold of your promises, because he who promised is faithful, your word says. He who promised is faithful. Lord, I come against every spirit of intimidation, Lord, that has come against your people. Lord, that wants us to dream small, think small, believe small, and we shake that off this morning. Father, we come against the spirit of disappointment and shame, Lord, that would want to remind us of all of our failures, Lord, that would want to elevate our failures above the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we repent for putting our confidence in human things. We repent, Lord, for putting our confidence in man-made things, Father. And we turn away from them. They mean nothing in the context of eternity. They cannot give us access into your presence. But your blood has, and your blood still gives us access, Lord. And so we come this morning, Lord, and we trust you, Father, for impossible things still to happen. Lord, I stand in faith with people this morning that are trusting you for impossible things in their marriages, Lord. And we step into the veil, Father, into the holiest of holies, Lord, where you said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Where you said, Lord God, ask of me and I will give you the nations, where you said everything is possible for those who believe. And Lord, we are standing together and trusting you, Father, for the restoration of marriages. I just sense, Lord, that there's a barrenness in some marriages, God. Barrenness, Lord, in spiritual dreams. Barrenness in partnership with one another. Just a going through the motions. And I thank you that you sent your rain, Father, upon those marriages this morning in Jesus' name. Those listening, Lord, those watching, those here present. Thank you, Lord, for a birthright where together as couples we can enter into the holiest, where we don't have to live as strangers to your presence and strangers to each other. But we can dwell together in unity and see you use our families, Lord. Lord, we bring our homes before you. And we thank you for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our homes, Lord. That the deserts of our homes, Father, Lord, will be turned into fruitful fields and into forests, Lord. Where other families would be drawn to us, God, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, thank you for the businesses, Lord, represented here. Lord, and I thank you we can bring, Lord God, just the wilderness of hearts that have just been going through the motions, that are just living now for a paycheck, Lord, that are just living now to make it to the end of the month. And we thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit for visions, Lord God, to see why you have placed us at those workplaces. Lord, to see why we are doing what we are doing and the courage to change what we need to change if we have to, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come against a spirit of religion that wants to separate Sunday from Monday, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us that will see us activated, God, to take the fire and the rain to our colleagues and to our neighbors. Amen. Thank you for this place and for our congregation in Summers of the West, Lord, to be places where we will stir each other up for good works and for love. Thank you, Lord, for outpouring of your love in our hearts and to those around us. Thank you for outpouring, Lord. Your word says in Romans 5 that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for those, Lord, who have lost the confession of their hope, who find their words just going with the newspapers, find their words just going with the latest blog post or podcast or Bri Flay's conversation. I pray, Lord, that you will salt our tongues. so that the confession of our hope would be different to the confession of those who are around us and who live without hope, so they can be drawn to sense, Lord, that this place will be a beacon of hope, an oasis of hope. We honor you for that, Lord. We honor you for that. I just sense that the Lord reminds me of a word that He has given this congregation of songs of hope. Just songs that the Lord is going to release through you. So, Father, thank you for the band, Lord. I just want to pray for my brother, Lord, standing proxy, Lord God, for the band. Father, Shofar Brackenfell, God, I thank you, Lord, for new songs. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for new band members, Father God, old band members, Lord God, those who have buried their guitars and their drums and their flutes, Lord God, and have just walked away from it, Lord. I thank you for fresh anointing, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for an anointing that as, Lord God, they play, Lord God, that rain will be poured out from on high. Lord, in Jesus' name, and hearts will come alive, Lord, will soften, that you will do miracles in the hearts of people even before the word is being preached, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of David, Lord God, upon this congregation's worship that will go from this place. I thank you for young band members, Lord God, from the Amplified Youth guys, Father God, from the kids' church, Father God, stepping up, coming, Lord, to bring their songs, prophetic songs, songs of deliverance. Thank you for an anointing upon little ones, Father. Lord, who sing songs. I just sense, yeah, there will be a time where little ones will sing. And it will bring deliverance. It will bring healing. Thank you, Father. And the Lord says the anointing upon this church is one that will astound the wise. One that will astound those who judge the way that man judges on the outside. That what he will do here will be a true work. It's a waarachtige werk wees van God. A true work from God. Because God doesn't see the way that man does. And the Lord says that I found your hearts to be faithful. And I found your hearts to be consecrated. And I found your hearts to be bowed down before me. Looking for no man's acclaim and no man's approval. And therefore I can trust you. I can trust you with my treasures. So Father, we thank you. I pray for the leadership, Lord, of this church, and I thank you, God, for your blessing upon Kubus and Loretta and the elders, Lord, and the team. Thank you, Father, for hands that will steward what you are doing here wisely. That will steward the rain. That will steward the rain, Father. Thank you. I just see trucks going with water to dry places. Dry places, trucks going, taking water to where it's needed. And I see those big trucks that would go and water the grondpaaie, where there's a lot of communities, they don't even have tar roads, they have these gravel roads. And that water tank goes and it just softens the ground, prepares the ground. It prepares the ground for the transformation that's going to take place. Father, thank you. Thank you for the combination of water of the Holy Spirit and wisdom in the natural, God, to transform places. And as this place has been transformed, so communities will be transformed, God. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.